Chapter 16. Empty milk bottles decorated the doorstep. Kelsey could hear baby crying from inside the house. She knocked loudly, then stepped back. Tony answered in his typical uniform of boxers, bathrobe, and sandals. In one arm, he clutched the crying infant. He had a gauze strip and stitches across his forehead.
Yeah?
He took another second to process Kelsey's new appearance.
Kelsey? What the? You look...
Choose your next words carefully, Tony.
Please, come in,
he said, stepping back. She followed him in, leaving the front door open. Stacy was a volatile woman after all, plus the house stank. A large garbage sack lay propped against the wall. It wasn't in a trash can or tied up, but it was overflowing with diapers.
Ugh. What the hell, Tony? Said Kelsey, covering her nose.
I've been meaning to take that out, just haven't had a minute, he said, trying to placate the wailing child.
Kelsey grabbed the bag, tied the top, and carried it outside at arm's length. Marching to the rear of the house, she shoved it into the trash chute. The compactor whirred and crushed the diapers into a cube, then swallowed them down the pipeline. Kelsey re-entered through the back door into the kitchen. The other child was awake, lying in a vomit-stained pink onesie. Gurgling quietly, it regarded Kelsey with curiosity. She tried to smile, but her blood was boiling. The infant was still in that cat cage.
Last time I was here, I made myself very clear, she growled.
Yeah, you said you'd be back to get them cribs, yelled Tony over the wailing child.
No, I said I'd call the cops if you didn't get them cribs.
All right, then, it was a mix-up.
So, when you realized it was a mix-up, why didn't you do something? One of you could have bought a crib from the thrift store. I've seen them there. And don't say you were busy. I know the two of you don't have jobs, snapped Kelsey.
Lay off, will you? I've got my hands full here.
Kelsey surveyed the kitchen. The number of beer cans had grown, attracting flies to the after party.
You disgust me, Tony, both of you. Where the hell even is Stacy?
On vacation. She'll be at least a month, said Tony, lowering the infant into the spare cat cage.
What? Where did she even get the money?
I mean, she's in prison, dum-dum. Jeez, you put on a suit, it's like you never grew up here.
You're right, Tony. I didn't grow up here. I stagnated here. I trod water. I limped through these miserable years to the finish line, but unlike you, when I made it into the outside world, I made a choice to grow up fast. Grab a trash bag.
Why?
You're going to clean this mess up. These kids are not having the childhood you gave me, and God knows who else before me. You've got 20 minutes or so, help me God.
With that, Kelsey marched from the house, ignoring Tony's protests. She stormed down the street, meeting the neighbors' glares with defiance as their tracksuits and tank tops jarred against her attire. The thrift shop was shutting up for the day when she arrived.
Just a second, sir, said Kelsey.
We're closed, ma'am. Come back tomorrow, said the owner, not looking up.
Please, it'll be quick. I need a double crib and any baby clothes you have.
The man caught sight of her suit.
Is this some kind of sting? I pay my taxes, honest to God, most of them, anyway. I'll make it right, I swear.
It's nothing like that. I'm not from the ministry. Well, I am, but not that department. Look, I just need some baby stuff and then I'll be out of your hair. I'll give you a 10% tip if you stay open for me.
I don't got no double crib, but I got a couple of singles ought to do it. Y'all can check out the baby clothes while I get 'em.
The man opened up and shuffled off into the cavernous stockroom, an overflowing Aladdin's cave of unwanted crap. Kelsey fled down the aisle, past the fur coats and a row of identical toasters, to the baby section. She grabbed the best clothes, plus several outfits in the sizes up, then returned to the counter. The owner returned with a battered-looking vintage cot and a modest steel equivalent. The former had the charm of wood, but the latter was sturdier and had wheels. Kelsey paid the owner, tipping him as agreed, then hurried from the shop. She ignored the neighbor's stares as she rattled the steel cot along the sidewalk with a wooden cot balanced on top. Upon reaching the house, Tony's face bore a rare expression. Joy was reserved for beer alone, but this was something better. Surprise. For a man so jaded by life, being pleasantly surprised was a phenomenon as rare as Halley's Comet. Ditching a half-filled sack of trash, he hurried to the door to help unload the cribs.
"How did you get these?" he marveled.
"Well, Tony, first I did this crazy thing called getting a job. Then I used my legs to walk 10 minutes to the store, where I used the money from my job to buy these basic items for your children. It's not rocket science." They carried the cribs into Kelsey's old bedroom, which was a disheveled mixture of her old bedding, a handful of old outfits, and a box of clean diapers. Gathering the stray clothes into a pile, she ordered Tony to exchange them at the thrift store for blankets and toys. His mouth hung open, entranced by her new manner. Kelsey's wristwatch chimed 6:30. "Oh, crap. I'm going to be late for class. I'll be back, and when I come, I expect to see your kids sleeping in these cribs, wearing clean clothes, and being nurtured. Have you read the starter guide?"
"Reading's not my strong point," said Tony with an apologetic curtsy.
"Why didn't you ask for a large print or audio versions? You know they have those. They tell you at the clinic." "I can't do all this for you. Just make it happen. Get the recording, listen to it, and do what it says. No one's expecting you to be dad of the year overnight. They're just hoping you can be more than some guy in a bathrobe drinking beer while his newborns vegetate." He looked at her puzzled. "While they do nothing," she clarified. From the kitchen, the twins whimpered. Kelsey checked her watch. "Damn it. I have to go. Get it together before I'm back."
"Look, Kelsey, I know you think I'm a waste of space, but I want to do right by these kids. I do," said Tony, following her to the door.
"Good. Then prove it," said Kelsey, eyeballing him.
"I will. I swear."
The twins' whimpers turned into wails. Tony gazed at Kelsey with his awestruck mouth hanging open. After a moment, he leaned in closer. Kelsey recoiled in disgust.
"Jeez, Tony, you're a piece of work."
She stormed out of the house with contempt, marching with dignity until she was out of sight, then sprinting for the tram. Panting and sweating, Kelsey filed across to her desk and unpacked. Thanks to her sprints at either end, she'd only missed 9 minutes. Kelsey stared at the chalkboard, trying to catch up. She was smart, but the classes moved at a pace. At the interval, a peer reluctantly helped her catch up. Kelsey spent the second hour recontextualizing the first, while trying to absorb fresh information on top of it. When the three-hour class finally ended, to her immense embarrassment, the professor kept Kelsey behind.
"Are you serious about your studies, Miss Bailey?"
"Yes, I'm so sorry. I was..."
"Sorry, it doesn't cut it here. We offer these classes on a limited basis. Your presence here deprives another of this opportunity."
But I was helping..."
"Further lateness will result in a disciplinary, and we may withdraw your place. A letter will be sent to your referee informing them of tonight's infringement. I suggest they pay the penalty swiftly. It doubles after a time."
Kelsey approached Val's law office with a handwritten letter. It was well after business hours, but she wanted her letter to arrive first. A groveling apology and explanation might mitigate whatever damage the ministry was planning to inflict on her referee in the coming days. To her surprise, a lone desk was illuminated inside the office. Val was sat between stacks of paperwork, twirling something silver in her hands. As Kelsey knocked, Val nearly jumped out of her skin. Apologizing, Kelsey leaned closer to the glass, showing her face and waving. Val snapped the locket shut, stowed it away, then buzzed Kelsey in.
"It's late. Is everything okay?"
"I had to deliver this letter."
"Are you all right? You look upset," said Kelsey.
Val laughed once, exhaustedly rubbing her bloodshot eyes.
"Just overworked. What's so important that you deliver it by hand at this hour?"
"I got a disciplinary at night school, and they said it will impact you. I came to make it right." Val's nostrils flared.
"I told you, night school isn't like regular school. You can't take liberties with your punctuality anymore. Come on, Kelsey, this is basic stuff."
"It wasn't my fault. I was trying to help my old family. The ministry has given my foster dad twins of his own, and he'll ruin their lives unless someone intervenes. He had them living in empty cat cages in that filthy house. I had to help.
He's the worst, but the kids deserve better. It took longer than planned, that's all. I was only 9 minutes late, and I caught up on the stuff covered, but the professor's out to get me now.
Kelsey, I appreciate where you're coming from is hard, but you need to draw boundaries. Everyone at night school is fighting personal fires, but they have to leave it all at the door. It's tough, which is why they only take students with a referee's endorsement. The professor's pissed because you failed to do what your classmates all managed.
I'm so sorry, Val. The professor said you would be penalized because of me. Please, let me pay the fine.
It's not the money I'm worried about. It's the procedural toll. They'll put a strike against my name. I won't be able to sponsor further students until you graduate. It's those other youngsters you should apologize to. FYI, if you fail the course, they'll revoke my referee status permanently. So don't let this happen again. Now, go get some rest. You look more haggard than me.
Kelsey fought back the tears as she made for home. She kicked a trash can, furious at herself and the world for trapping her like this. Boarding the night tram, she opened her textbooks and started her homework.